I've been involved with the community for quite a long time. I started attending the Bristol Developer Group back when I lived in the UK, and then when I moved back to Spain, I started running the developer group in Seville, and from there we got in touch with all of the other community groups in Spain, and we organized DreamOle, which is the community conference in Spain, which is giving us really good times in the community, and we learn loads, and it's a really exciting conference to organize.
And that's Julio Fernandez, and along with Laura Diaz and Pedro Molina, also organizes DreamOle, the main Salesforce community conference in Spain. And I'm Julian Duque, your host for the Salesforce Developer Podcast, and here in the podcast, we share stories and insights from developers for developers. Today, we are going to talk with Julio, Laura, and Pedro about DreamOle and how to organize Dreaming Community Conference. And before we start, just as we left off, we will talk about their beginnings in the Salesforce community.
My first experience with the community was in Paris. I was working there, and to be honest, I was feeling a bit lonely on that huge city. And I attended one event organized by the admin group in Paris. And from there, this is where I started to, you know, get to know more people. And I ended up being into the London Sculling community-led event. Mm-hmm. And from there, this is where I actually meet other people. And I started thinking, oh, that would be so cool to do some of this thing in our own country. Because at this time, I already started to also attend more regularly the community meetings. I also started my own group of women in tech in Paris by the time.
Oh.
Yeah, I did. And then, unfortunately, I moved to Switzerland, where I've been for the last 7 years. And when I moved here, I also started the developer group in Geneva, too, where I was leading that for a while. So I do certainly have a bit of experience over the years with the community.
That's amazing. How was that experience of organizing a community on your own?
At the beginning, I was feeling, to be honest, quite lost because there was like a lot of information and a lot of processes that I had to follow with Salesforce. But you know, the community, Salesforce community, is really amazing. And I reached out to some people in the US, which now, unfortunately, I cannot remember the names, but they were so lovely that they jumped into a call and really got me through this full process and what to do, what not to do, and how to get started. And it was really amazing. And the beginnings were tough when it comes to you know, people attending and people understanding why were you doing that, and also understanding that you were not getting nothing out of that, right? That mm-hmm. I was not being paid, that I was just putting my own time just because I wanted, right? And at the beginning, really, the people were not so willing to come because I think most of them thought that was like a commercial Salesforce event, and I was certainly not trying to sell anything to anybody, right?
Yeah. It's for certain people very difficult to understand that we organize these meetups or these conferences mm-hmm. without expecting anything.
Indeed.
In exchange. My mom, for example, she's always like, but why you are spending that much time if you are not getting paid? And
Totally. Yeah, it was the same. And even in my own company at the beginning, they were very willing to help me. Like, yeah, sure, let's do that. Because I think they thought that they were going to get out of that for themselves, right? And they actually did nothing. Yeah. I was not really selling projects or anything. I was just a time where we would be sharing with other people about our successes, failures, some cool stuff that were coming out in the Salesforce ecosystem. So it was really more like a hangout more than anything that you would get.
Yeah. And what about you, Pedro? How was your first experience with a community?
In a way, it was confusing because, well, I came from a different technology. I was working before to work with Salesforce with SAP. And when I started in, well, a company called Financial Force, that is now called Certinia. There were those groups, it was the Granada developer group organizing there. And at that point in Granada, in the city where I live, Certinia was the only company working with Salesforce at that point. So at the beginning, I thought that it was a company thing. Someone within the company was organizing technical sessions with a beer or with something to eat and drink, while someone is explaining things to the people that is interested in keep learning, hang out with colleagues, actually. But then I start to talk with one and others. I realized that that was organized by actually one of your workmates, Alba Rivas, and she was doing that in her spare time. And I was really surprised, in a good way, actually. And well, yeah, was a nice experience. Actually, that was my, after that first meetup, I attended to the first Dreamolé, the community conference in Spain. Yeah, it was an amazing experience. And was when I realized the size of the community, no, of the surface community, how the people behave. I mean, the people that aim to keep learning, sharing, and enjoy together, actually, because the people also wants to have a good time on those events.
Now let's talk about Dreamolé. Julio mentioned he was involved also in organizing Dreamolé. Who started Dreamolé, and when the conference started? When was the first Dreamolé?
So the first year, I think, was 2017. And I think it all started as a result of some of us attending London's Calling, where I think Laura was there, Agustina was there as well. And they had a really amazing time. And they just mentioned that, why don't we do something like this in Spain? And they got in touch with all of the community leaders, the local community group leaders back then. And we were all on board with the idea of organizing something similar. And yeah, we just started talking and just having weekly meetings and just building ideas. There was a bit of a brainstorming, just find what name we want to do. Also, the idea that we didn't want this to be always in the same city. We had, because we were local community leaders and we wanted all of the magic that happens in these events to come to our places as well. So that's one of the key factors, differentiator factors in Dreamolé, that we change location every year. And I think it's also very, very interesting for everyone attending, because there's always something new to offer for people who come on a regular basis. And yeah, that's how it started. We just wanted to do something together, and all of the local community leaders started building up on this. And yeah, people started just loving it, and we have a lot of fun organizing it. Yeah, it's still going on.
Nice. How was that first experience? I mean, organizing a conference for the first time has a lot of challenges. It is not an easy task, but how was that first experience for you all?
Sorry, maybe I jump in if you don't mind.
Please,
it was
please.
Really funny, you know, because it all started by, okay, once we got the name, the logo and so on, that it took a lot of time to decide on, it was okay, now we need a place, right? So we started to looking into places, and obviously we had zero money, nothing, right? So we had to rent a place that was used as a yoga studio.
It's a yoga studio.
Yes.
Okay.
It was a yoga studio, and we got this place and we started to tell them about the event. And obviously to book it, we had to put money out of our pockets, our own very pockets. And it was really challenging. Also, you know, to know if people were going to come to the event, also to try to reach out to sponsors where nobody understood really what we were doing. And the first year, it was mainly our own companies at the time that actually helped us sponsor and paid for that event. But it was actually really funny. And also the selling of the tickets, people were also not really getting why they would have to pay to go to a Salesforce event until the last 2 weeks or last week, we thought that we were going to go to the, to the street to say to the people, please come in for free. There's food. Please come in. Because at least we had to show to our sponsors that they actually paid, that there were some people, right? So that was really the funny thing. It was stressful, but then it was very, very rewarding. But it was really funny.
That's good. It's scary to get into a project like this. I remember the first conference I organized back in 2013. We lost money. I mean, we weren't able to get enough sponsorship and ticket sales, and we lost money. We had to put money from our pockets and decided not to do anything the year after because it wasn't sustainable. But mm-hmm. gladly later, people understood that an event like this has impact and is something that it is changing the community, and they decided to sponsor. But the first one is always the most difficult one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how many people attended the first Dream Olé?
That's what I was just about to say, that the first one, it was just around 100 people. Mm-hmm. And maybe between 100 and 150, but yeah, the place was tiny, and we ran into lots of problems. We had power cuts.
Oh, no
Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Power cuts, no aircon. So just imagine that amount of people in a yoga studio. So yeah,
no aircon. Yeah.
It was like Bikram yoga, like the hot yoga, right? For free, included in the ticket.
And I remember that. At lunchtime, everywhere start to smell food. Just because they didn't look so small. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the thing. They were just cooking in the same venue, and you know, there wasn't enough power to feed the kitchen and the aircon and everything else. So yeah. So that's yeah. It's a funny thing to remember now, but it was very, very stressful at the time. Yeah. We had the support of our companies, and that was what triggered everything else running successfully, and people were interested, and we had a good turnout. It was definitely something that deserved continuing, because even though we had some troubles, it was a really big success, definitely. Yeah.
I was an attendee at that first Dream Olé, and I have a really good memory about it. Everything was good. Eh?
Nice. That's a good thing. So what was that impact that you saw from the first event that you decided to continue in organizing the next year?
We, as a team, also, we got to be friends, which it was a bunch of people that we didn't know each other at all. We had a really good connection, and also we saw how the people enjoyed that. So they were really, really, really funny moments. And even though with all these things that happened during the day that were not so good, but people still thought that for what they paid, they learned a lot, and also they had fun. And this was very rewarding, because we were working like crazy for a year and said like, okay, at least it was worth it. People got a benefit out of that. They got out their job. Some of them paid for themselves. Some others took holidays. So they also made an effort to be with us. And they really, we thought we need to do it next time a bit better, right? And also people started to understand the value of that, and the word of mouth started playing a bit of a thing, and we got more sponsorship. But honestly, it was the satisfaction on people, the feedback we're getting from the attendees that made us wanted to make it better and bigger.
Yeah. And also, I think the opportunity of bringing, Salesforce celebrities to a market that back then in 2017 wasn't that big in Spain. So, you know, you have a lot of people who work in the Salesforce ecosystem, and, you know, you are watching podcasts, listening to podcasts or watching videos and keynotes from Dreamforce, and having them next to you, it's something very special that it's easier to achieve when you have these kind of conferences. And I think that's also one of the key factors that people like, you know, just being able to talk to the person that has developed the tool that you are working with on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. And that's very, very inspiring for people. They
absolutely
they see that the people building these tools, the people working on the software you're using on your daily basis, they are just human beings. Like,
yes, yes. Yes.
That brings reality into the situation and changes everything.
Yeah. And, you know, not everybody can go to Dreamforce for a whole week.
So, oh, my God, yes.
So, yeah, it's really good to be able to have kind of a cut-down version of the experience that you have in San Francisco, in your local country, so in your home country. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a beautiful thing to do.
Yeah.
And this keep happening, actually. I remember you, Laura, a couple of years ago, Trimolet, the first Trimolet after the COVID,
uh-huh.
You were about to quit.
Yes, certainly. Many but times.
You, yeah, but I remember you, your face after the Trimolet in the after party. I mean, you feel exhausted, but yeah. You were so happy to have organized this, to see the people enjoying and see happy faces around you, that you continue actually at the end.
That is certainly true. It's like every year I think like, I mean, I cannot do that anymore because, you know, with the job, the kids and this extra job that you get on your hands is like too much. But then I go there, I enjoy the day so much that I go, okay, another one, another round. And you're totally right.
And especially you see the impact, the people that comes to you and thanks you and the lives you are changing. That's pretty much what pays for the event. This is what I told my mom, for example. this is the payment that I'm getting. Mm-hmm. Like
it's very rewarding.
The impact. Exactly.
Yeah, it's a really good reward to take back home with you.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. What happened during the pandemic? Did you organize like a virtual event or just took vacation?
No, because we've always wanted to be a in-person event.
Yeah, but we organized
I forgot special. About this. You're right.
Okay. Campamento remoto, remote camp. That's
yeah. Okay. And also we give the chance to the speakers we had selected to run a session, an online session.
That's true.
In Dream, under the Trimolet branch, because, you know, technology progress. And so the session that you have prepared for this year, for the next year, or whenever it's going to be the next Trimolet at the point, this session most probably is deprecated. So, yeah, we had a few things.
Yeah. I mean, the main event, we wanted it to keep being an in-person event, but we decided to just run a few sessions and to give the opportunity to our sponsors to be seen, because, you know, they were still supporting us. Nobody said, I want my money back. So yeah, it was a way of just, appreciating the fact that they were still with us and just taking life as you take when you live these kind of situations. So yeah, we decided just to do a bit of online thing, but still keep working towards the next. We thought we could do it in August or September.
You're so nice.
The same year. But also there was a bit of panic moment because this happened like 2 weeks before Dreamolet was scheduled, and everything was ready. Everything was ready. So it was like, really? Is this happening? It was all ready. So it was a whole year of work to just have to postpone everything. And then when we came back to organizing it again, it was like starting from zero, even if everything was ready for 2020.
Yeah, so, I can imagine that. So I guess the conference has been growing since the beginning. The last edition, how many people attended, for example?
It was around 400. Yeah.
400?
Almost 400. 394. We checked that the other day. Really? Yes.
That's 400.
yeah, exactly. No, honestly, it's been growing. But the last years, we have been actually cutting down to a certain number, right? Because we don't want to make it that big that it will not feel as a family. I think we need to find always the right balance on the numbers so that people would not feel overwhelmed. Because if you feel overwhelmed, at the end, you don't speak to anybody and you tend to go like in isolation. And we want really people to feel good to talk to other people they never met. And I think with this kind of number, we actually managed to do that, right? Because, you know, I mean, I've been to Dreamforce several times and then there's so much people that is like, wow, too much. And at the end, really, you only speak to your only friends. But if you are alone, you would not really speak to many people, right? So that's one thing we want to avoid. And from 100, you know, of the first year, we've grown quite a lot to 400 last year in Seville.
That's a lot. And the same happens with the team, I guess?
Not really. The team size has been like a bit more constant. I think we've always been around 6-7 maximum. But obviously, we've had through the years some people in and out, right? Because obviously, life changes and you have other priorities or, you know, different things happen. But the team size has been always almost the same.
Yeah. What we've had is more volunteers on the day. So, yeah, because initially it was just us. We were organizing everything. But then people said, you know, I'm happy to help, count on me, and I will help on the day. So, yeah, that's been also really good to have people, you know, people just out of the blue just saying, I'm here to help, I can collaborate. So, yeah, that's also something to appreciate. And we are very thankful because as the event grows, it's really, really needed. So, yeah.
Nice. Pedro, you mentioned that the first year you were an attendee.
Right.
What made you say, okay, I want to contribute, I want to jump in and organize or help or volunteer on this event or on this community?
Well, I'm not really sure. I think is that I enjoyed the first Dreamolé and also the second. I was a speaker at those two Dreamolés. I just wanted to participate. Because, what Laura and Julio said before, the people enjoy and you want to contribute and to give a hand. So, yeah, actually they proposed me as a new member when someone else left. I don't remember who.
But
Agustina. Agustina left, right. And I was working in the same company than Agustina. So, yeah, maybe she proposed me, and I said, yes, of course.
Nice. Keeping up the legacy.
Yeah.
That's what happened a few times, actually, where people have either, we have reached out to people that we saw certain affinity to ourselves that were volunteers, that they have come for the event. And some other people, the people have reached out to us like, hey, if there is a free spot, let us know, and I would like to participate and be an organizer too.
Nice. Is there going to be a Dreamolé 2024?
Yes, it's already getting prepared.
Nice.
We've already announced the chosen city and the date, and yeah, the tickets can be purchased today. Well, as of today, yes. And yeah, it's going to be in Granada, which is one of the longest communities in Spain, I believe. It was already, when I moved back to Spain in 2015, it was already active, and it's one of the oldest I remember. So it really deserves to have Dreamolé.
It was the first one in Spain.
Probably the first one.
The first one. Yeah, I think so.
So yeah, it deserves to have Dreamolé this year. And nice. Yeah, everybody's really excited. We are all very excited. And it's a very beautiful city. So I invite everyone to come along and enjoy it. And just try to prove me wrong.
Now, you know, we are going to be sharing all the links in the show notes. So you start like buying your ticket. And also, is there a call for proposals or you already selected these speakers for the next event?
No, we will be opening the call for proposals probably in the next days, right?
Yeah.
Every year what we do is we choose the speakers very blindly. So when you actually submit the proposals to us, we hide the names and we only vote based on the abstract and title. So please, if you are applying to be a speaker in Dream Ballet, do put attention and effort into writing a proper description of your talk and the title, because that's how we choose the speakers. We do not choose on the stars, we do not choose on names, we really choose on content.
That's and the please, way to go.
And please don't use ChatGPT. all the abstract with ChatGPT looks the same.
Yes.
I was going to mention something like that.
Make it catchy, make it human.
Now I'm tempted to submit a proposal.
Let's do a challenge. Yeah. You submit a proposal and we try to know if you did it with ChatGPT or not.
Oh yeah, no, not with ChatGPT. My own proposal, of course. My that own proposal, of course. Beautiful. I wish that the next Dream Ballet is going to be a success, and hoping, let's see, because I always wanted to go. Maybe next year I have the opportunity. Before we close, each of you, I want you to give advice to any person that is listening to us right now that wants to organize an event like this in their region. So what advice do you have for them? Start with Laura.
So for me, it's that you should know that it's very rewarding, but you also have a big responsibility against the people that you are holding, first your attendees and your sponsors. One of the advices I would give is purchase insurance, civil responsibility insurance. I know it's very, paperwork-like, but this is the kind of things you forget, and it's very important because you can get stolen, things can happen. You never know, so they better be prepared.
It is not expensive.
It is not expensive indeed, and then it allows you to sleep at night. So please do it. That's my advice.
Solid advice. Julio, what about you?
My advice is to enjoy it and just make the people you work with happy, make them happy, and collaborate. Turn your camera on when you're having remote calls, because it helps. And yes, just enjoy your time and make the most of, you're doing this for free, and it's you're donating this to the community. So you have to enjoy it. It cannot be an obligation. So yeah, enjoy it.
Pedro, what about you?
Well, don't be afraid of asking. The Salesforce community is a huge community, and there is a lot of people with large experience that will be really happy to help you always. Yeah, there are several channels for asking, ask for a hand.
Yes. And my advice will be, please get yourself a team that shares your dream, a team that you can trust and a team that you feel comfortable working with, as the team we have here today with Laura, Julio, and Pedro. Thank you. Thank you very much for joining me on this special episode of the Salesforce Developer Podcast. And looking forward to have you all on our next episode.
Thank you for having us. And really hope to see you all in Dream Ballet 2024.
Yeah. Thank you very much for the invite.
Thank you very much.
If you want to learn more about the show, head on to developer.salesforce.com/podcast, where you can hear all the episodes and read the show notes. We will be taking the next week off for Christmas, so we wish you a happy holidays and a happy new year. Thank you, everybody, and talk to you in 2024.